Good morning. I used to think that Mark Twain said a story is never finished, only abandoned. But it turns out that might be another one of those things that we all thought Mark Twain said, but he never said. Now, Leonardo da Vinci said that art is never finished, only abandoned. And that sounds pretty good. And then Paul Valéry said, a poem is never finished, only abandoned. And then I even saw something, a little article, that the film director David Fincher said that a film is never finished, only abandoned. So this is an idea that gets batted around. So I thought that I would do a little podcast some of the time for you called Abandoned Sermon. So the text from yesterday's sermon was the first two verses of Philippians, which I'm sure you recall. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Just the beginning of that. And I think that highlighting the identity of Paul and Timothy as servants, their audience as saints, the roles of bishops and deacons, those probably unofficial roles. I think highlighting the identity of all that is a good thing. Something I didn't talk about yesterday, hence the abandonment. I came across a little quotation in a monastery library from a book of meditations on Ephesians, of all places, but it's a meditation on the very first verse of Ephesians. And the translation of that is something like this: Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are such, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. And what I really liked about it was, as this author said, whatever Paul is going to announce in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Father, in the name of the church, in the name of believers, it will be marked by his personality. He is perfectly conscious of this. Even the truth that is communicated in an unbroken way, as it were, from the triune God to man, will unmistakably have his personal stamp. I think that's pretty cool. It's this idea that you and I are who we are, our personalities make up who we are, and everything that we do is sort of touched by our personalities. We do things in ways that no one else would ever do them because of our personalities. I've emphasized in my work here at the church the Enneagram, because I have experienced it to be such a helpful tool in sort of explaining why I am like I am. And if you have spent a little time with the Enneagram, maybe you also have experienced it being a helpful way to share with you why you are the way you are. Real quick, you know, the Enneagram is a kind of a theory of personalities. It's sort of a way to show that most of us seem to fall into nine different types. So if you're, and they always use numbers. Now, real quick, the objection to the Enneagram is always something to the effect of, there are not nine personalities. You're totally wrong, Mike. You've just brought this crazy idea into the church. There's not nine. There's an infinite amount of people, and everybody's totally different and like that. And I would say that is true. And it's also not true in the sense that there are primary colors, three primary colors, and from those primary colors, all other colors come, right? People seem to be okay with that. And, you know, there's lots of other examples where you have kind of building blocks that move out from that. And I think the Enneagram, there's something to that, that there's infinite shadings, but we do seem to be able to talk about these nine types and gain traction with folks. So it's kind of, so real quick, let's just go around the wheel and I will be quick. So, you know, if you're an eight, you're called a leader or a boss, and you might be incredibly powerful. Your personality is highly energetic, but also sometimes you come on too strong and it puts people off. Or if you're a nine, you get called the peacekeeper or the peacemaker, mediator. And, you know, you have the amazing spiritual gift of connecting with others, almost like heart to heart. But nines can be sort of disorganized and can kind of live in their imaginations or in the past. Ones are called the perfectionist or the reformer, and they're a really hard worker. And it's good to have ones in the world because they keep us all coloring within the lines. But ones can be fault finders, and they can be kind of tight through the throat and kind of critical, overly critical. Twos are helpers or servants, and they are so good at helping people, and they're right there. But sometimes twos, whether they know it or not, are keeping a list of all the people that should help them when they need it, when they need to cash in on those chips. And so sometimes they're manipulative and not maybe helping for the right reasons. Threes are the performers or the achievers, and they are so good at connecting with a whole room full of people and getting it done, making it happen. But sometimes that covers over a little bit of an identity crisis within them. There's a little bit of a hole. They're not sure who they are or why they're doing what they're doing. They know they just can do it so well. Fours are the innovators. Fours are the artists or the people with an artistic spirit. When they do something, they do it in such a way that you never, ever would have thought that anybody could have ever done it better. But fours sometimes feel alienated and as if they don't belong. Fives are the observer, the professor, the teacher. Very, very highly observant, highly analytical. The football replay was made for fives. But there is a fear and a concern that there isn't enough, that they need more information, more security, more, you know, inner emotional resources in order to make it through. You know, the five is not going to want to go to your dinner party. Sixes are great problem solvers. They get called the devil's advocate or the loyalist. But sixes are great problem solvers, and it's good to have them on committees. But sixes are highly anxious and have a lot of questions. And once you answer them, there's going to be more questions. Sevens, a group I particularly love. Sevens are called the epicure or the generalist or the adventurer. Sevens are fun-loving and pleasant and like new and improved. But sevens can avoid deep commitment. Sevens can have trouble following through. Sevens can just plan and then not act. So, but those are all the personalities in the Enneagram. Those are all the things that are best about them and worst about them. And the best thing is the worst thing, and the worst thing is the best thing. And I really think we see this even in St. Paul, who is probably a one. And so because of his knowledge of the law, he was tight and closed off to the message of Christ. However, once he experienced that road to not Emmaus, but the Damascus Road experience, he was able to use who he was and his personality and how he knew the law so well. He was able to use that for the glory of God. He was able to use that in Romans to talk about who Christ was. And he was also able to use that that hardworking spirit in letters like Philippians, where he could appeal to a more Gentile audience. And so our challenge is, I think, always to just recognize the good and the bad about each of us, and that the good is the bad and the bad is the good, that our weakness can be our strength, and we can leverage that or learn how to leverage that in our lives. Thanks for listening. I hope you've enjoyed the first of maybe many episodes of Abandoned Sermon. Talk to you again soon.